CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you as we always are, as we get together and we set this time aside to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We got some lines open. You're sure to get on if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker that comes on right before To Every Man an Answer, Mike Fabarge from Compass Bible Church in Aliso Viejo down by San Clemente, California. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Mike. It's great to be here today.
Always a blessing to be with you. Looking forward to answering some questions with you and all these kinds of things. Boy, I'll tell you, we look at the world and we realize that I think Jesus is the only answer.
Yes, with wars and rumors of wars, we need Christ.
I guess Pakistan and India now has calmed down. Trump sent some people over there and calmed them down, and that's a good thing. Always good. Blessed are the peacemakers. We want to do that and be about our daddy's business. Well, Mike, we've got some calls. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We have with us Peter, Sitka, Alaska. Hi and welcome.
Hello and thank you. I just had a question about the scripture. It says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And then it also speaks about, in other verses, about the Lion of Judah and, you know, almost like I don't understand why they're using a lion in both those verses.
Well, your thoughts, Mike?
Well, a lion is a very strong animal, and it can be used both as a positive illustration and a negative one. Even the word angel, right, used of Satan, that is what he is. And yet, you know, he prowls around and he's disguising himself as an angel of light. It's just a lot of words that can be described for both. We don't want to take an analogy and say you can only use that analogy for one thing. And so Jesus, of course, is the lion, a very strong lion from the tribe of Judah. He will rule the world. And Satan right now is a strong agent, although he will be defeated by the lion from the tribe of Judah. So it's just trying to depict strength and veracity and power. And Satan is powerful, but Jesus is more powerful.
So I hope that answers it for you, Peter.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
All right. Stay on the line if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. I think you'll enjoy sharing with your friends. With that, we will go to Martin in Wyoming. Hi and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Martin. How may we help?
Yes, I was just wondering, is there a difference between the day of the Lord and day of God?
Day of the Lord and day of God. Mike, what do you think?
Well, there's only two references that I know of, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, and Revelation 16, 14, that use the phrase day of God. And, you know, obviously the Lord is God and God is the Lord. So I don't think there's any difference there because both of these in 2 Peter 3 are talking about the end times. And the end times is a series of events often described as the day of the Lord. And Peter uses the phrase that we want to see hastening the day of God. And Revelation 16 is certainly speaking about what's coming when Christ returns and they're assembling for the great day of God. That particular reference is looking forward to the Battle of Armageddon. So specifically, you could say, at least in that context, it's referring to the Battle of Armageddon. But the whole series of events, even as it's used in the book of Joel, as it's used throughout the Bible, the day of God is not a 24-hour day. It's a series of events, and it means that the Lord is finally stepping in and dealing with what he promised to do, and he's getting it done.
So I hope that helps.
Okay, I was just, you know, I knew the day of the Lord when, you know, the Lord returns, but, excuse me, but I was was kind of led to believe the day of God was when that God destroyed, you know, the firmament of the heavens. But
well, that is certainly one thing that's going to happen when God sums up human history. But just remember, whenever we're talking about the day of the Lord, even in the Old Testament, sometimes it's just talking about the fact that God is going to bring justice and do what he has promised that he said he was going to do. Now, there's a series of things that he said he's going to do. And you're referring to the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 passage, which does speak about the end of this world as we know it and the remaking of the world. And that is going to be described in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. But just remember that phrase, day of the Lord, or I think day of God, is certainly including all of those events. It's a series. It's like we say the end times, right? We mean there's a series of things that happen in the end times. So it would include the remaking of the world when we have a new heaven and a new earth, as it says in Revelation 21. But it also describes events within it, as I said, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. That is the battle that takes place at the end of the tribulation period, and it's called the Great Day of God Almighty.
Hope that helps, Martin.
That sure does. Thank you very much.
Stay in line if you like, and we'll do our best to get you out some books and DVDs. I think great to share with your friends. And again, if you've got a question to ask us, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. Let's go to Ron, Prescott, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, Pastors Mike. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, and chapter 6, verse 17, are the chariots of fire spaceships?
I don't believe so. I just don't think so. I believe they would more lend themselves to the description that we have in Scripture here. Your thoughts, Mike?
Well, if it were a spaceship, spaceships, at least as we define them, are going to be stuck in the realm of time and space. And Elijah went to be caught up to be with the Lord. And we know that because he's appearing again at the Mount of Transfiguration. So he's going into another dimension, which is not what I think we're going to say is our common definition of a spaceship, right? A spaceship is something we're assuming is coming from some other planet. And but whatever, it's a mode of transport that Elisha was able to see and taking him into another dimension.
Yeah, and we also find this in Ezekiel chapter 1, a wheel within a wheel, and people have oftentimes wondered, oh, is it describing a spaceship? I don't believe so. Now, I do believe there's many things in the realm of the creation of God that we have not yet seen. Because the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard the things that God has recorded for those that have for those that love him. But then he goes on, he says, but it's been revealed unto us. Now, how God has revealed that to us, perhaps an Ezekiel 1 type of picture, or this we're talking about in Kings. But I believe that there's a lot of things that we have not yet seen. I don't know what a seraphim looks like. I don't know what a cherubim looks like. I don't know what's inside the atom or beyond the stars, but someday I believe we're going to know. And because of that, I believe there are things in God's word that are allusions that we are brought. I've actually had people say, well, how could every living thing in the sea die? What it says in Revelation. Hey, listen, God can step back altogether. And just with the rogue nations now that are producing nuclear weapons, I can very much see how that's a reality, even apart from God doing it. You know, when you look and realize that the weaponry that man possesses now, and then you see that fiery red horse in Revelation 6 going out, one quarter of the world's population dies. Now, that's going to be, at this point, about 2 billion people if this was to happen in the next little bit here, because there's 8 billion people plus on Earth right now. So when we look at this, I think there's a lot of things that we find descriptive in the Bible that we try to bend into our mind to make it fit. Where I think God's inventions and creations are far beyond even that which we can imagine. Mike, any last thoughts?
No, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think we're going to know a lot. And I do think whatever took place there in 2 Kings is giving us a picture of God giving a show to Elisha, because in reality, God doesn't need any kind of transportation to bring someone into his presence. The Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives, he just took off and God brought the Son back up into his presence. And so that's the reality, is that this was something God did to give something to show to Elisha. Certainly he was going to get that the double portion of his spirit, but yeah, we'll find out one day what that was and what it looked like, perhaps.
Yeah, and like I say, Ezekiel 1 has got some things there that people have called and asked me about, and I go, I can't really go beyond what the Bible says there to make any kind of sense out of it. A wheel in the middle of a wheel and all these things going on. I think some things we're just going to have to wait till we get to heaven to fully understand. Ron, I hope that helps.
Thank you much, pastors.
God bless you, Ron. Keep studying. God's word is good. Let's go to Calvin, Brentwood, California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. The question I had is about the firmament, and if the firmament is how God displays in the Bible, how we have waters and here on earth and we have waters in the heaven, is the firmament something that we can go above and beyond? And if that's the case, is the earth really round how they display it in school, or is the earth almost like a flat sphere?
No, it's round. And again, we find this referenced in Isaiah and other places in the Bible. And just what we call geosynchronous satellites that you're listening to right now, Calvin, these satellites that are above the equator, their position there with many things taken into consideration. And so the firmament, I believe, was just the sky, and God in his infinite wisdom separated this. I think it is speaking of that which is here on this earth. Now, is it possible to go above that? Well, certainly, and even airplanes do that. When we get up above the clouds, you get up 35,000 feet or better, you know, you really start seeing this. Now, the curvature of the earth, the farthest that you can see, like in other words, a light on the surface of the ocean, I believe, Mike, is 7 miles. And then the curvature of the earth doesn't allow you to see the light on the horizon. During the Second World War, they were building a really long manufacturing plant because of the war needs. And when they were putting the building down, they actually had to accommodate for the curvature of the earth. We know that the towers that hold up the San Francisco Bridge, they are narrower at the bottom than they are at the top. And the farther, of course, you would go out on pylons that support the bridge and the cables thereof, the farther you go up, the wider it gets, because you're moving away from the center. And it is actually measurable, the curvature of the earth in the pillars and the towers there on the San Francisco Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. It's really incredible how God made everything. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, the firmament just means the expanse. And certainly there is an expanse above us. And what we see, though the ancients often thought there was just a sea of water above us, I don't think there's any doubt about the spherical nature of the earth. I know many people today love to follow that rabbit hole, but I mean, you can take a drone today that I guess the legal limits are 400 feet. You could fly your drone right as soon as you lose the sight of the sun, at least for us on the coast here over the Pacific Ocean, and fly that drone up immediately once you cannot see that sun, and point that drone at the horizon and go up 400 feet and you'll see plenty of sun left. So we're definitely in a curved earth. And like you said, the satellites only work And so I have all kinds of things that attach to satellites right now, and they only work if we have this these geosynchronous satellites, as you say, Mike. We have to do these things. I've had friends of friends that work on these things, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the firmament may have been different, and by that what we see above us may have been much different prior to the flood. But all we're talking about when you use the word firmament is what you can see when you look up, the expanse above your head.
The sky. The sky is what it's talking about there. And we believe that before the flood, there was a vapor canopy that surrounded the earth. This is why you find tropical vegetation up on the polar caps and animals and all kinds of things. After that vapor canopy was ruptured, I believe this is what caused the extremities in our weather patterns, why we have winter and summer. I believe it was more tropical globally than it is today. Now, interestingly enough, when Jesus sets up his millennial reign back on this earth, I believe he's going to set it back up as a tropical paradise. And I think that's going to be really, really pretty amazing. And again, we don't know what the oxygen, nitrogen composition was before the flood, once this vapor canopy got ruptured. But this is how God separated the land from the firmament or the sky. And then even in that, we see it under changes. And so understanding, people talk about global warming, which I always think is kind of interesting, but global warming has been going on ever since the flood. And a lot of people, especially into this idea, they really, really are very negligent on looking at historical facts. At the time of Israel, Jesus on the earth and all, the northern plains of Africa was Rome's bread belt. It's where they grew their crops. But by 400 AD, the northern plains of Africa were desert. And we see this continuing even today. Now, they want to blame man for it, but that's not completely the truth. Again, in Hawaii, they've got a volcano going off and spewing sulfur dioxide and smoke and carbon dioxide, all kinds of, putting off more pollution in a 5-hour episode than probably these large cities in a year because of what they do. It has been under change ever since. And this is one of the reasons why when Jesus comes back, one of the things that he says is, "Behold, I make all things new." Why? Because the Bible says, towards the end of man's futile efforts to govern himself, the Bible says that the earth will wax old like a garment. And I believe we see that today. I think we see the earth waxing old. But God's going to make it all new again when Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem for that 1,000-year period of time as we rule and reign with him. But no, the Bible says that God sets on the circle of the earth. If it was flat, there would be a place where you could go where the world would fall off. And the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God separates our sins as far as east is from the west and chooses to remember them no more. You can take a globe as an example. East never meets west. East is always east. West is always west. Now, it is interesting to me that God did not say, "I separate your sin as far as the north is from the south." For if that was the case, as you would go north, there'd be a point when you got to the North Pole, and then you'd be going south. But that's not the way it is with east and west. So it has to be a circle. Now, he goes on and says that the Lord hung the earth on nothing. And if this was a case that the earth was flat, there would be a place where you could go, and the edge would be there. The water would fall off. No place like that. Hope that helps, Calvin.
Definitely helps. Thank you. God bless you guys. Appreciate it.
God bless you too. Stay online. Send you some books and DVDs. I want to send you a DVD called God of Wonders. I think you'll really, really enjoy that. It goes a little more in depth of what we're talking about. So I think you'll enjoy that. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Joshua Palm Springs. Hi, welcome. Looking for Joshua. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, sir.
Yes. Palm Springs. Hi, welcome. How may we?
Hi. I was wondering about the Bible verse that talks about, and I'm paraphrasing here, apologies. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that mean?
Well, you know, we've all seen some real wild TV evangelist interpretations on on this particular verse. Oh, you need to loose the money in your life, you know, and bind the sickness from your life. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, and there are many organizations. One of them in the news this last week thinks that they can say there is a place called purgatory, or they can change the status of this or that, how we view Mary or the saints, and then it's done, and everyone should follow that. But that is not what this means. Matter of fact, both of the passages that you're referring to in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18 are referring to situations where we have the church being given this reminder that we're just a reflection of what's going on in heaven. Take the Noahic covenant, for instance, which says if you take the life of a human being, certainly with malice and a forethought, you're planning to hurt someone because you hate them in your heart, that you are supposed to have your life taken. And that is something that heaven has told us to do. Now, here's Jim, and Jim goes to the elders of Israel in a city of refuge in the Old Testament, and they say, hey, you're guilty. All the facts are there. We got four or five witnesses that saw you do it, and so we're sentencing you to death. That sentencing to death is something that is also being sentenced from heaven, because the church, at least in our day and the Old Testament as well, when they were reflecting the principles and precepts of God's word and putting it into practice, heaven was right there behind them. And that's why in the next passage in Matthew 18, as he's discussing church discipline, he talks about Jesus being there among them when two or three people are there passing a judgment that matches what the scripture says. We can only say what the scripture says. We can only enforce what the scripture tells us to enforce. We can only affirm what the Bible says to affirm. Once you say, oh, no, this is given to Peter, and then every pope after him or the vicar of Christ in Rome, you know, this last week, he can just decide he's the ultimate authority. That is not what the passage is teaching. If that were the case, we would have seen something very different when it came to Peter and his ministry, and also some instruction as to how to pick the next vicar of Christ. But that's not what we have in Scripture. So what we have is a reminder that the Word of God is our authority, and anything we say has to reflect that. And when we put it into practice on earth, heaven stands with us, Jesus stands with us, and we know we're doing what we should when we do what the Bible says.
Amen. I hope that answers it for you, Joshua.
I was kind of wondering if it's calling to action, if it's calling me to act. And I was wondering about the application that I could honor God with in that verse.
Well, I believe, again, that there is the authority of the believer. And we certainly can say this. In fact, another verse that's very similar to this that people get tripped up on, and the Catholics and some other groups say, oh, this applies to only us. But it's where Jesus said, whatever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whatever sins you remit are remitted. But I thought only Jesus could forgive sins. That is absolutely correct. And that's not up to a priest or a pastor or anybody else to say those things. It is for all of us that are believers to be able to say that. And I can say, Mike can say, you can say with all authority, if you accept Christ today, your sins are forgiven. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins remain. So I'm not saying something new, or I'm not taking the authority away from Jesus Christ that forgives sins. I'm enforcing what Jesus Christ says. I believe it's the same for this verse as well. I believe the things that are bound on earth that the Bible says we can bind. Now, the Bible tells us that when we pray for somebody to accept the Lord, it says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. So I pray that God binds Satan from that individual that I'm trying to lead to the Lord, that he would not continue to listen to the lies the devil is saying in his mind. I want to be that person, that mediator, if you will, not as Jesus is, but that I represent that priest that represents God to the people to God. That's what we want to do. And all the way through, we find this. We find demonic spirits being bound. And I believe that, again, I think this goes back to the authority of the believer, and that whatever is, and I believe in the Greek, Mike, you might double check me on this, but I believe in the Greek, it says whatever is continuing to be bound will be bound on earth. I believe that there's a restrictiveness that the church in this world is offering. I believe the reason the Antichrist has not come to power already is the presence of the believer. And here's why. If there was a guy that came on the world scene right now, could do some pretty impressive things, and the world says, oh, this is the Christ. There's enough Christians that say, you're not the Christ, you're the Antichrist. But once the church is gone, I think he'll be able to come to power extremely quickly. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. We don't want you to go away, and we'll be right back for more right after this.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued, and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true, people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Terry Man Answer here on this Monday afternoon with Mike Fabares. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And when we went to the break, we were talking about this verse and a couple others like it. Whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And, you know, Mike, going back to the authority of the believer, you know, James says we don't have because we don't ask. Now, a lot of times we don't have because we want to consume the answer on our fleshly lusts rather than what God's kingdom is all about. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think you're right, and you point out something. It gets into the grammar, but we have a subjunctive, an aorist subjunctive, which is us saying we want this to be bound, and then we have a passive perfect, and that means it's already been done. It's something that God has done, and it's in the books. So there's something much stronger about the way this verbal perfect passive participle is describing what has been done in heaven and what has been loosed in heaven versus our subjunctive, our wanting this to have this happen. We want to employ it. That's why I tried to use the word apply. We're applying what God has said. If something has happened that is sin and we call it sin, or you had a great example of that, Mike, if we say, hey, if you repent and put your trust in Christ, you will be saved. That is an application to somebody in a situation that God has already determined. God has said, if you trust in me, you'll be saved. So we're just reflecting and applying the word of God. And we have all authority to it. What we can't make up are things like purgatory or limbo or all the things that a lot of leaders have done, or people like Joseph Smith or Mary Baker Eddy or Ellen G. White. They're making things up and they can say, well, we're just binding this stuff. Well, that's not how this works. We only have authority insofar as we say what the Bible says and apply what the Bible is wanting us to apply.
Hope that helps, Josh.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Stay online if you like. Stay online if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to go to Jimmy in Oregon. Hi and welcome.
How you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Here. I'm going to try and summarize this so it doesn't take too much time so somebody else can get in. This is in 2 Chronicles 18. Believe it or not, I really like the Old Testament. But anyway, getting back to it. There is a part in this where Micaiah, and I guess he's a prophet. Matter of fact, he is a prophet. Therefore, I hear the word of the Lord, and I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with a multitude from heaven standing on his right and on his left. Okay, and for some reason or other, King Ahab is to attack, I'm bad with these names, Ramoth-Gilead, and causes death. And then he says, then it says, one suggested this, another suggested that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord, and asked, I will entice him. And by what means, the Lord asks, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in his mouth of all the prophets, he said. Now, is this a good spirit or a bad spirit? That's the question.
Very good question. Mike, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah. This is a fascinating passage, and I do think even that statement in verse 18 about on his right and on his left may be a hint that we're dealing with both demonic spirits and angelic spirits. Of course, they're all, you know, ultimately living and made to dwell in a sphere of the spiritual, and sometimes they're called the host of heaven or the armies of heaven. There's good and there's evil. And God is not the author of sin. He is not one to lie. But we know Ahab, and all you got to do is ask Elijah one day what he thinks about Ahab and Jezebel. They're terrible. And here, God had had enough. They were going to come to their end. And I do think probably we're dealing with an evil spirit that says, I'll go and deceive. And God says, okay. It's a lot like, think of Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 28, when God talks about giving people over to their sin. Well, God makes a decision to let them do what they're doing that's bad, and it continues to mess our society up. People are turned over to their perversion. Or even Jesus being crucified, right? God had to allow the Sanhedrin to condemn him and Caiaphas to condemn him and Pilate to condemn him. That's what they do, right? They are jealous, they're envious, they're evil, And so are these spirits that want to deceive, and God allows that to happen so he can get his will accomplished, which is it's time for Ahab to die. King Ahab needed to be dead, and his reign of evil needed to stop. He was a wimp married to an alpha female that was all about messing up everything and lying and cheating and stealing. And Elijah had a real rough time with Jezebel and Ahab. But it is a fascinating passage because it is what like a lot of people like to talk about today in terms of a divine counsel, right? It's like in Job chapter 1, right? All these angelic beings, the Ben Elohim, the sons of God, come before him, and Satan's there too. So we know that, you know, when God calls a board meeting, so to speak, with his angels, it doesn't seem like all the demons are excluded. Sometimes they're included. And in this case, there's a lying spirit. And of course, angels aren't lying spirits, and God is not a liar. Holy Spirit's not a liar. And he ends up playing right into God's plan, which is to end Ahab's evil reign in Israel.
I believe that the unseen spiritual world is that which goes far beyond our ability to completely understand. And I believe as you look at the book of Job, chapter 1, it said that the sons of God, speaking there in that particular passage of angels, they presented themselves before the Lord, and it says, and Satan was there. So it tells me that at times that God has this. Now, when we look and it almost, well, God just doesn't know what to do about this. And so this lying angel says, all right, I'll go and I'll deceive him. I really believe that God already knows all things. I don't think God learns. He lives in all times present. And being in all times present, he knows the end from the beginning, beginning from the end momentarily. I don't know anything like that. Everything I know has a timeline attached to it. And so because of that, I believe that as we look at this in this spiritual world, when we understand that when we become born again, that God puts, or in the case of the Old Testament, those people who really love God put his hand of protection upon them. David recognized this. I believe this is why David could go out and go up against Goliath. But I also believe that if you're not a believer in God, that you do not have that protection. And I believe that, again, we have to come to this reality, and it's hard for us, but the devil is still God's devil. God created him. He knew he was going to go sideways when he made him. People say, well, why did God do that? I don't know the whole answer. I believe someday we will. But I do know that there are demonic spirits that do his bidding. And I've shared this before. I believe that when God created man, as David says, a little lower than the angels, it didn't bother the devil, didn't Lucifer, I don't believe it bothered any angelic being whatsoever. But then the Bible says those that believe in him, he's going to elevate above the angels, whereby we will judge angels and call us, those believers, his bride. I believe this caused that great rebellion. Whatever that rebellion was, where a third of the stars fell with Lucifer, had to be something of magnitudable proportion, that they were going to be replaced by something superior. Now, having never seen God, having never talked to him personally, having never been to heaven, and yet we choose to go with him in faith, where the angels saw all of God's greatness, they saw his throne, they saw his power, and yet they rebelled. I believe this is why God will elevate human beings above the angels. But it's curious in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know someday you will judge angels? Why is that verse there? I believe it very well could be that of what we are talking about right now. I will be a lying spirit. I will go out in the mouth of the false prophets and prophesy. Well, here's the problem with that. without the protection of God in your life, I believe people in the world are subject to all kinds of evil spirits. You see, oftentimes these guys that are arrested on the evening news and they're marching them into, the county courthouse. I just did what the spirit, what the voices inside my head were saying. Oh, yeah. The demons are real. And I believe they're going to be judged someday for what they did to humanity. I believe that the demonic world, Satan, every time he looks at any human being, whether a believer or not, says kill him. Kill him, kill all of them. And we see this exemplified with the man of Gadara. We see it all the way through the Bible. The attack of this fallen angelic force against human beings. And I believe very possibly this spirit that you're reading about right here, I'll be the lying spirit, that may very well be one of the ones that we will judge to deliberately deceive. And I believe that this is one of the things, again, we have to realize that God allows the devil to be. And why he does that is for his purpose. Again, without a choice, we would just be robots. And so God does give us a choice. But those consequences of bad choices are so severe. Eternal separation, punishment from God. As we find in the book of Jude, verse 7, that they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. The same punishment that the fallen angels get and Lucifer gets. False prophet and Antichrist get. Wow, you thought to think about that. Mike, any last thoughts? Because I believe this battle of the invisible empires is so, we always go to Star Wars. Oh, use the Force, Luke, and all this kind of junk goes on. But there is a battle of invisible empires. It's good against evil. Evil spirits, right? This is the devil's world. Well, how did the devil get it? Adam gave it to him in the garden. Sometimes it's a little troubling when I see on the insurance policies or any other acts of God, like God chucking lightning bolts down on people. No, God put man in a beautiful place. He refused to live there. And when we see what the spiritual world does to human beings, what the devil longs to do to all human beings, I believe this is why we find the problems we have. Satan and his demons have declared all-out war on human beings. If you're not a Christian today, you better get Jesus into your heart to protect you from the wiles of the enemy. Because as we had our first caller talking about the lion, he is looking for those that he can devour. And the only thing that keeps the devil away from any Christian's door is that relationship with Jesus Christ. It isn't a cross. It isn't, a gold one on your door. It isn't wearing undergarments. It isn't reciting mantras. It's your personal relationship with Christ. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Mike, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to quote Ephesians 6:12, because you're talking right about it, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness, this set of spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And again, there's another reason I think heavenly places, it's a different dimension where these spirit beings work. And I do think among those who were before God in that passage, judging, by what God was going to do with Ahab, they were there wanting to deceive. And that's the problem. And you say it well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, we walked as non-Christians according to the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So we are going to have our eyes opened. Mike, you've said it really well. And one day we'll see this spiritual world a whole lot differently. And we will say, why didn't we get this straight? Because this world is filled with all kinds of things that are going on behind the scenes. Daniel talked about that, and one day we'll see it.
And I'm really amazed, Mike, this is just a freebie, but I'm really amazed who Satan uses. We always think it's the witches' coven or it's city planning and zoning. I find that the devil uses people who are called by the name of Christ as much as any other underlying force. You know, you look at Judas Iscariot. Now that's Jesus Christ. What's the ratio? 1 in 12. Where does that leave you and me? And so I look at this and I realize that these people who profess the name of Christ and yet are doing everything they can do to hurt people and destroy people, do they think they're going to miss hell? I mean, what is really going on when you really look at their mentality? You know, you look, learn from Judas Iscariot. It doesn't end well. But they don't. Much to pray about in this world. Jimmy, I hope that helps.
It helps. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Let's go to Teresa, Alabama. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How can we help?
I have a couple of questions. The first one is, I've been standing on God's word. He said to rest in him and wait patiently for him. You know, be still and wait for him. And then there's another scripture that says, sit at his right hand until he makes my enemies my footstool. I wanted some clarity on that. And then my next question is, in scripture, seems like it's talking to me, you know, like what I'm going through and everything. What does that mean? And I know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And they took away my car. They're after my life. And, I'm constantly praying and everything. And,
Teresa, first of all, you need to remember God loves you. I know sometimes when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't feel that he does. But he's there. Fruit is always grown in the valleys. It's never grown up on the mountaintops. You'll never see apple trees up on top of a mountain. Usually you find snow and bare rock. It's down in the valleys is where the food is grown. And that's where we grow the most, is in our valleys. And sometimes we don't realize God's everything that we need until we don't have anything else. But I just want to encourage you, dear, that God's seen you through and God will continue to see you through. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 comes to mind when Paul felt like everything had gone wrong. He was greatly afflicted and burdened beyond his strength. And he says in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 1, it was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And he delivered us from such a deadly peril in the past. And he says, he will deliver us. And on him, we've set our hope that he will deliver us again. So here's the thing. Ultimately, there are some things about Paul's life that he shares later in this book, like his health problems, that will not be fixed until the resurrection. And that's when, Bree, you and I and Mike Kessler are all going to have all of our enemies, every demonic power, everything that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and even death itself will be defeated and will become a footstool under Christ's feet. And if it's under Christ's feet, then it'll be under our feet. And that's the last enemy to be destroyed, is death itself, according to 1 Corinthians 15. So all of this, as Mike rightly said, sometimes lets us draw nearer to Christ. As Paul said there, I learned to rely even more on God when all the things were taken away from me. And Job, he went through a hard time, as you know. But at least at the beginning of the book, when all those things went wrong, he was still able to say, the Lord has given, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And he had a hard time for the next, 38 chapters, but he finally got to where God restored him. And James tells us we ought to learn from that incredible patience, because it takes a lot of patience just to read everything in the book of Job that takes so long for him to be restored. So there's a lot of things in our lives, and it should drive us, as Mike has just said, to hold tightly to the good shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. And one day, for Bree, for you and I and Mike, if the Lord doesn't come back first, we're all going to walk into the valley of the shadow of death and never return, right? We're going to leave this world behind and be in the presence of Christ, and then we're going to find out That's the ultimate healing. That's the ultimate restoration. And Paul no longer has a thorn in the flesh given to him by Satan. It's going to be gone. And he now is he's disembodied, but one day he will have a resurrection body when Christ is dispatched to get his church. And so we look forward to that, Bree. We tell you, don't give up. Mike and I are here to tell you, continue to put your hope in the Lord. He is going to get you through this. He'll give you endurance. We want him to change our circumstances, but God wants to refine your character. He wants to make you lean on him even more. He wants you to be so close to him in the midst of your trials that you can make it through this a better Christian woman than when you went into it. So hang on and let's see what God does. And one day we'll all rejoice together without any of these problems as we stand in the New Jerusalem.
Yeah, Teresa, and the Bible says it's the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say the valley of death, the shadow of death. A shadow is not the thing. I can go into the shadow of death. It's not death. Death is death. The shadow of death. You know, it's interesting. If you late in the afternoons in Idaho, I remember when the sun would set and our shadows across the parking lot, we would be 30 foot tall. Because of the shadow that it's cast on there. That shadow is not me. That shadow is the absence of me. And what's interesting is that we that are believers never die. And so that's the good news. You know, Mike, let's pray for her. Would you lift up a prayer
yes.
for Teresa?
And I'm sorry, Teresa, for calling you Bree. We've got another patient caller on line one waiting. Her name is Bree, and I accidentally called you that. But Teresa, let me pray for you now. God, we do ask that Teresa would draw near to you in a way that is so close as she holds on tightly to you in the midst of her trial without a car, without things that she's used to. And of course, she is pleading for you to restore her. But like the Apostle Paul, if that is slow to come, even as Job had to wait so long, I just pray that you'd give her endurance and patience and that she'd look around her at others that are struggling too and be able to minister to them in a great way because she knows what it is to suffer. And even as Paul says earlier in 2 Corinthians 1, God, give her that ability to comfort others with the comfort that she has been comforted with. And even if Mike and I have been any encouragement to her today, let her yes. pass that on to others that are hurting and be a conduit of your comfort to others, even today before the day is over. So bless her, encourage her, and of course we pray with her as we always pray for people that are yes. suffering, that you'd bring relief, and we ask that would be soon. But if not, God, bring her all that she needs to endure well in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Teresa, stay online. We'll send you out some books and some DVDs that'll encourage you again. And our prayers are with you, Teresa. And if you need us, we're here for you. Give us a call. Let's go to Bree. I think we have time for one more call in Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you so much for your ministry. I was just calling to see, I had a question about homeopathic medicine, and I was just wondering, should Christians is it okay for Christians to use that, or should I be leery of using homeopathic medicine?
Yes and no. I think there's a lot of things that are available in the natural sense for our different ailments. I know, as an example, noni, a plant that grows in Hawaii, can reverse the acidic conditions in our body. Where cancer likes to grow. Cancer likes to grow in acidic situations. That's why I tell people, I caution them about soda pop. And read on the can what's in it. When you read a soda pop ingredient, phosphoric acid, I'm not kidding you. You guys that like to drink cola products, read what's in it. And they wonder why our bodies go acidic and then we have so much problem with cancer. Cancer loves acidic conditions. Noni reverses that and makes you more alkali, as an example. It's a natural fruit. You eat it, and many things are like that because so much of our food has been bleached out, and we've got so many different crazy ingredients in our food right now. It's awful. We have sodium nitrate, a known cancer-causing element. It's been banned in Europe. In processed meats. But in America, it's still, I won't eat any meat that has sodium nitrate in it because whatever it does to the meat is doing to your gizzard. Mike, any last thoughts?
Yeah, just you need to be aware of some that have really made this a spiritual endeavor. Yeah. that are talking about, you know, if you can get molecules down to a single molecule, then it has this special property, or, you know, people want to hover their hands over you, and they have all kinds of strange things that they'll put under the banner of homeopathic medicine. But there's a lot, if just even in a good diet, as Mike's trying to say, that if we just, you know, we eat better, I think we'd be better off. But here's the thing, don't go chasing after someone who's, you know, promising something that is based on something that just doesn't, it just contradicts the principles of, you know, biology or chemistry. Sometimes that's just not, it's putting off the kind of traditional treatments that may be much, much better for us than chasing some special deal that we saw online.
Yeah, we got to be very careful in these days. And so, like I tell people, go to a doctor, get diagnosed, but then look and see what's available out there that might reverse some of the issues in our lives. We're all out of time, everyone. Angel, the rest, please. Call us, which on first thing tomorrow. Bree, stay on the line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. You're welcome to call back tomorrow as well if there's more to your question. Until then, may the Lord keep in his love. Thanks, Mike, for being on.
Of course.
Be sure to tune in with him tomorrow before Every Man Answer. God bless you and good night.
Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.